Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 398, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. The eyes of all upon thee wait. By thee their wants are all supplied. Thy open hand is bountiful, and every soul is satisfied. 1 and 2 of Psalter 398. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and who taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, and they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by their number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may read as such a precious portion of thy holy word, wherein is laid bare the struggle, the warfare that is lying in the heart of thy own church. And thou knowest how many also in our midst must say that this also speaketh unto them, and that also their own heart does know that struggle of thy servant, of those whom thou leadest in this world. Oh, how many then here below, even of thy own church, and must not say that my way is hid from God. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. Thou knowest whether they also have come up in the midst of us in this afternoon hour. And yet thou sayest who and what thou art, for thou dost not faint, neither art thou weary, and thou knowest even the burden that is lying in the heart of each and every one of thy people, that they may also be given eyes to see it in this afternoon hour, that even they may receive that blessed comfort wherewith thy servant was commanded to comfort thy people. Lord, wilt thou give them an eye then to look upon thee in all the distresses and all the tribulations and trials that can be in this world? Because the enemy is within, the enemy is also without. Thou knowest how that he fights against thy church, if it were possible even to deceive the very elect. And thou hast him chained, that he can do no more than thou dost allow him to do moment by moment. But thy church is not able to see so often that that lion is chained. Lord, wilt thou remember them then in this afternoon hour upon thy day and upon each day forward, that thou may also grant them to see that thou hast all things in thy own hand, and that they may be given a little rest in all these matters, to lay their burden upon thee who carest for them, and that they may receive that which they may also speak of in the midst of family and friends, that also the Ruths may see the Naomis with all their burdens, and that they may be jealous of that portion of that people who may go through this life with all the tribulations, and yet to have a God for their soul. Lord, remember then us as a congregation, when we are without, and when we stand without all these blessings, that there may be, that there may come in our heart and soul a hunger and a thirst, a desire, a holy jealousy, that we may begin to seek and that we may begin to search. And thou bringest not a fire, and bringest not an earthquake, and bringest not a storm in the life of thy people so often, but thou speakest by that still small voice, and by that voice which is very powerful, by that voice which is almighty, which thou speakest in the heart of those that are dead in sins and in trespasses, by that voice they may live. Oh, that that life also may be born in the midst of us, even in this thy holy day, that the miracle of that new birth may be known by us and our children, and that we may not remain without God in this world, even as we have been born, even to the end of our life. But Lord, thou art the only mighty one, and more mighty than he that holds us in that power of death, the prince of the power of the air. Oh, thou art over him also. Thou can speak and say, loose him and let him go. Oh, that thou may do so also in this day, in order that the angels about thy throne may sing over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, give us then that instruction that is not merely outward, but that we may receive an inward instruction that may lead us in truth to thy holy footstool, and that we may stand in need also through the knowledge of our own wretchedness.
of that blessed child who was born in that stable and laid in that manger of Bethlehem. That his divine power may also be necessary for our heart and soul, and that we may be given even by a true and a living faith to cast in all our wretchedness and in all our inability an eye upon him. Wilt thou so remember us as a congregation that the spiritual needs and matters may be bound upon our souls as we travel to an eternity that never ends. But also thou art a God who is over all the temporal circumstances in this life. Oh, that thou would remember then all that are in need and all that are in trouble in this world. Where there is warfare, where there is famine, where there is hunger, where there is disagreements. Lord, wilt thou supply where there is persecution for the sake of thy name? All these things are in thy hands. But wilt thou thyself look upon all those that are persecuted and distressed, that thou may hear also their cry, and that thou may show them and give them to experience thy hand of deliverance, that they may also acknowledge thee uprightly, that thou may look also upon all thy servants over the length and breadth of this world, send forth more servants in thy vineyard to the Jew and to the heathen and to those who are deceived by false religion. Lord, that thou may uncover all that falsehood and that thou may discover thyself. Oh, that thou may reveal thyself unto men in this world. That thou would put away the forces of evil that seek to overturn thy word and thy truth and thy church. And that thou thyself may show thyself to be the strongest one. And that so Jew and Gentile from the east and from the west may be brought in. And that we and our children may not stand without on a great day of days. To see great and small, rich and poor stand before thy throne, and that separation to be made on the right and on the left, and having known and heard thy truth our whole life. And then to be placed with the wicked on thy left hand, and to hear that awful sentence, "Depart from me, ye cursed." O Lord, wilt thou prevent it for us and for our dear children? Thou alone art able to do so. Wilt thou look upon our country, our rulers, and all the judges, and all that make laws on our behalf? Oh, bring us again when our world is steeped in vanity. Oh, when our world is steeped even in the living out of all the wickedness of our hearts. When even upon the places where our lawmakers are, that a sin is no more considered to be sin. And when the forces are of evil are given in unto, Lord, may thou give them a new heart. Oh, give them to stand strong. Give them to see that we must walk according to the law of God. And bring us again, O Lord, turn us again. And we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. Wilt thou go with all that are distressed? Remember all those that are in the prisons, those that are guilty and those that are not guilty. And thou knowest each one in their place. Wilt thou supply what is necessary from above? And may thou give comfort thyself when they are in prison wrongly. Lord, wilt thou be with all those that have difficulties of the mind, that are often discouraged and that are fearful. Lord, may Thou also remember in this great ailment which is over so many people in the world in which that we are living. Lord, wilt Thou bless the medications that they may be used for their profit. But wilt Thou above all Thyself come and wilt Thou deliver. And wilt Thou give that true saving faith to see Thee. And that that faith may be brought into exercise. Lord, give them to look unto Thee continually. Wilt Thou go with us as a consistory in all the labors of our hands, week by week and day by day. Bless these labors, O Lord, we beseech Thee in the midst of our congregation, that we in a rebuke may be heard, and that it may be brought into the heart of those that go astray, and that we may know how so to speak unto our own people, but also in bringing comfort, in bringing instruction, that we also may know how to go, that Thou would guide us in speaking and in our own walk, and that so Thou may unite us as a congregation around Thy holy and Thy precious, Thy sacred truth, that a death in Adam and life in Thy only begotten Son, that He may become more and more precious, necessary and suitable in the midst of us. So go Thou with us even in this afternoon, when the instruction according to Thy word must be brought again. Lord, be on our right and on our left, and give Thy Spirit to help us with the matter, and to bring it in a clear and an understandable way into the minds of this flock. But Lord, bless it and sanctify it also unto the comfort of Thy true church. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 127, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 8. God will our strength and refuge prove, in all distress a present aid. And though the trembling earth remove, we will not fear nor be dismayed. 1, 6, 7, and 8 of Psalter 127, and we announced at the congregational meeting the following were chosen as office bearers: for Elder Mr. Garrett Van Heerden, for Deacon Mr. Rick Busicum. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory. Congregation, the Apostle Paul has written to the Philippians, God, who hath begun that good work in you, will finish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The gifts and the calling of God, he says, they are without repentance. What a comfort that this is unto the church of God. And wherefore? Because their experience is that not only are they not able to begin, but also are they not able to continue that work of God. We read that he is the Alpha and that he is the Omega. That means he must begin it, he must continue it, he must finish it. And that is a great comfort, not for those who have their own strength and who have their own might, but it is a great comfort for those who are continually in themselves decreasing. This is not only in a spiritual way, but it is also in a natural way. Thus, it is not only so in the way of the realm of grace, but also in the realm of the creation. That is, last time we have considered God as the Father of the creation, that he has created everything. But God has not only created it, but he has also upheld it and does uphold it even unto the end. That is also a great comfort to God's church. In what way? Children, when your brother or your sister does something against you, then you are angry. But I read in God's word of a brother who was not angry with his brothers. Do you remember who that was? That was Joseph. And he had the power to punish his brothers because they had done to him an awful deed. But when his brothers were in fear, then Joseph said to them, "Do not be angry with yourselves that you have sold me hither." Why not? Because, he said, God was watching over it. He said, "It is the Lord who was watching over you, even in your sin, even in all you had done wrong against me, and God has meant it for good, that I may go before you, even for the preservation of your own life." Oh, then we see what a comfort that can be in the life of that true church of God, that the Lord, he is standing over everything, not only in a spiritual way, but also in a natural way. And we wish to consider this under the instruction of our fathers out of Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day 10, questions 27 and 28. Question 27. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? Answer: the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he upholds and governs, heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Question 28. What advantage is it to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. So far our Lord's Day, the providence of God. First, the truth of this providence, and second, the comfort of this providence. The providence of God, first, the truth of it, and second, the comfort of it. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? We only read that word one time in the Bible, but we read the word provide in the Bible very many times, and we read also of God's providence, certainly in the Bible, over and over. Thus, there are those in this world that believe, young people, you will hear it in the university, they believe that even if God has created this world, that God is now only a spectator, and that God is only watching everything in this world to unfold as men and beast and even as fate will bring about its end. The Stoics even believe that God himself is subject unto this fate. The necessary changes that must happen in this world, they are even reaching unto God himself. It is very clear in the scripture that everything in this world is so very dependent upon the creator of this world. We can read, children, we know, then we have spoken and said that God does not have eyes or hands or ears, and yet we read about his hands. And with your hands you do things, and with God then he says to us the same, that he also does things, just as if he had hands. And it is just as if God has eyes, and it is just as if the Lord has ears like you and we. And we read in God's word how of his care and of his upholding of everything that is in this world. So you know that there are those that say otherwise. But Job, he says that men in this world, they are more ignorant than the animals in this world. Did you ever read that? There Job says, ask the beasts and they will teach you. Did you ever ask a beast anything, boys and girls? An animal? He said, I will not ask an animal because an animal cannot teach me anything. Well, Job says the human beings in this world, they are more ignorant than the beasts, because he says if you ask the animals, they will teach you. And if you ask the fowls of the air, they will tell you. And if you ask the earth itself, if you will ask the ground, then it will teach you. And if you will ask the fishes of the sea, then they will declare it unto you. Who does not know that the hand of the Lord has wrought all this? Job says,
This is what the very animals, the beasts of the field, would say unto man. And those animals, those beasts, those fowls, they are all objects of what we call the general providence of God. What is that? Our catechism says the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures. So, his power. They say his power is almighty. They say his power is everywhere present. Well, we can read that also, how that David, he says, Lord, whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I will go up into heaven, thou art there, and if I will descend even into hell, behold, he says, thou art there. Everywhere the Lord present with his hand, with his eyes, with his ears, with his power in this world. And that is a power that is over the entire creation. Know that he does not leave anything to go in this world by itself, but is upholding, but is governing it by his power. That concerns, we read, the herbs and the grass and the rain and the drought and the fruitful and the barren years. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He said, behold the fowls of the air, because they do not sow and they do not reap and they do not gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And so he says also even about the flowers and all of the plants of the earth. Thus, he brings the fruitful and the barren years. We can read how he is causing it to rain upon one city, and he does not cause it to rain upon another city. And that this is a power that is proceeding from the living God, we may see in special dealings of the Lord here upon this earth, when it is evident that he is bringing forth his own purposes. Thus, we can read that the Lord is sending a lion to kill that prophet from Bethel. That we can read, children, that the Lord sends the bears in the world to kill the children who are mocking with one of his own servants. That the Lord is sending the fire from heaven that he may consume the altar and consume the sacrifice of Elijah, and that he may prove even to the children of Israel that he is the Lord, that he is the God. What may he do? Or he may for his disciples take his hand and still the seas and the wind, so that everything is calm. Thus, the general providence of the Lord over all of his creatures in this world. There is also what we call a special providence of the Lord, and that is a providence which the Lord is extending to the crown of his creation. There was a very special part of that creation in which the Lord is taking a special care of, and that is mankind. Thus, that man that he has endued with rationality over all the beasts of this world, that one that he has given that special gift, created him in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, that he is standing there in that image of God. And the Lord is in a special way taking care
of mankind in this world. We read that he gives him meat and drink, that he gives wine to make glad the heart of man, that he gives him oil to make his face to shine, that he gives him bread to strengthen his heart, that he gives him health, that he gives him sickness. What was that king, children, that the Lord gave leprosy to? In his wrath, that was Uzziah, when he, as the king, tried to do the work of the priesthood. What was that great man that the Lord gave leprosy to? In his mercy, that was Naaman, that heathen general, that he may bring him to know something of the power of that Lord God of Israel. Health and sickness that the Lord is using for the good of his rational creature. Wars, pestilences, disasters in this world. The Lord bringing, we read, that king of Assyria, according to the prophecies that he has made known unto his own servants against his own people. Oh, for this reason, Solomon, he may stand in that new temple of the Lord, and he may beseech the Lord that the Lord would remember from this place where he is, when his people would cry unto him, and that the Lord would remember them, when that the Lord would give the rain when they stood in need of rain, and so on. And so the Lord continues. Over all the national calamities, the Lord over also the economic situation in this whole world, the Lord standing above it, to bring forth his own purposes, to bring forth his own ends, giving riches, giving poverty. What does Hannah say? The Lord he maketh rich, and the Lord he maketh poor. And the Lord is setting up one, and the Lord is putting down another. What did Job say? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we live? Do we live with such an impression that the Lord reigns in this world? When we look within us, must we not say that there is so much ungodliness within our own heart that does not live day by day with such an impression that the Lord is over every circumstance of our life and of this whole world, great and small? Then how atheistic do we find our own hearts? But what is the reason? What is the reason that the Lord is upholding this whole world? That is for the sake of his own church. And thus, there is what we call a very special providence of the Lord. And that is not only over his whole creation, that is not over every rational creature, but that very special providence of the Lord being directed unto his own true people. It is that church that this world is still existing for, that this world is still being spared for through the time. And therefore it is that church which are the objects of the very special providence and care of the Lord. The very nations in this world, all serving that one true church. Not with intention, no, but with the intention of the Lord. We read that so clearly in that book of Esther, then Vashti has to be put off of the throne in order that God may protect his own church. And then not only those great things in this world, but also the very smallest matters, they are laying in the hand of the Lord. In that night could not the king sleep. Smallest matter. Do we believe that to be in the providence of the Lord when we cannot sleep in the night? So it is. May we have meditations of the Lord when we cannot sleep in the night? Or is it all frustration? And we raise our fist then against the Lord because of the way that we have to travel? In that night could not the king sleep. It was for the good of that true church of God. And there are those also that may find it for the good of their own soul by times when they cannot sleep in the night. It is the decree of Caesar Augustus that is sitting upon the throne. Then it has to come out of his mouth in order that that little child may be born in the right place. And so we see that the whole world, the nations of the world, great and small, all wrapped in that providence of the Lord, together for that one end. Even nature itself is being withholden by times by the Lord himself. Because the Lord has, in his wrath against the sin of that first world, the Lord has decreed that he will pour forth his fury. And yet for 120 years, the Lord did cause that rain to cease, although his wrath that was boiling against the sin of mankind. And he has held the deep from bursting forth until that time that that ark may be finished and his church may enter in unto that ark. And then the Lord speaks and he lets it all go. So we see his hand, even in that city of Sodom, when the Lord would burst forth against the iniquity and the sin. But he is staying at the heavens from pouring forth fire and brimstone until his church is delivered out of that city. That is in that very special providence of the Lord. Everything being guided moment by moment, great and small in this world, of the earth and of the men in this world, by his hand. Even congregation, the smallest details under the watchful care of the Father of his church. What did the psalmist say? Children, do you know what the psalmist says? He said, my tears, they are written in the book of God. They are caught in a bottle. My tears, they are known unto God. That is a small thing, is it not? A tear. One tear. May you ever shed one tear. May you ever shed one tear because of your own sin, because of grief. The tears. The hairs. Little hair. It's also a very small thing. Maybe you say, children, that to pray unto that great God who is over that whole world. Oh, to pray to Him that is for my father, that is for my mother. No, 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 the Lord says that He knows the tears and He knows the very hairs of the head of His people. Do you know what we read? Not only the outward things, but He knew even the burden that was dwelling in that heart of Hannah, that was known unto the Lord. And so the burden, and that is lying in our heart, that is also known unto the Lord. Thus, these means, they are in the hands of the Lord. And that is for the preservation in the first place of this whole world, to preserve it, that it may continue, because it cannot cease yet. And why cannot not cease yet? Young people, why not? Say the last one is not brought in yet. That is why. Say it is dark in our days. Is that discouraging? This world still exists. And it is God Himself who is upholding this whole world, because there are still people that need to be struck with that arrow of the Holy Spirit. Will you not beseech Him that you may be one of those for whom this world is still being upheld? The Lord is upholding this world mostly in a common way. Sometimes the Lord is upholding this world in a supernatural, in a miraculous way. But most of the time it is by the natural laws of the universe. And He is giving rain and He is giving sunshine and He is giving the food to grow for the use of man. He's using man for one another by times or so in the warfare sometimes. Those who were that so poor, those who were persecuted, the Lord placing in the heart of others a desire to show mercy and to give help. So the Lord, in a very common way, we say, it is not common, it's really all a miracle, is it not? But we say in a common way what is happening day by day. But the Lord is also able to do this in what we do not see every day. The Lord is able to do this also without means. The Lord is able to give those means also in a miraculous way. He did that for the children of Israel. That very special providence of the Lord to bring them through that wilderness. Then they receive manna out of heaven. That is, that they may eat and drink that natural food, yes, but it is given to them in a supernatural way. They are given to drink, we read, of water that is flowing out of a rock. The ravens of heaven, they are giving their own food. Meat unto God's servant, so unnatural. The widow, she may eat and she may drink with her son and with God's servant out of that continuation of that meal and that oil. And the Lord can do it even without means at all. 40 days. Moses, Elijah, the Lord Jesus, 40 days. And they go through this world and they don't eat anything and they don't drink anything at all. Thus, the upholding, the preserving, to continue the world in its existence day by day. Not only so, but his creature here in this world must also receive what we call his concurrence, or if we will say that in a way that we, in a word we know a little better, the cooperation, as it were, of the Lord. Cooperation or concurrence. What does that mean? That means that for every motion that we make in this world, the Lord has to give the energy, he must give the strength for us to move our body. He must give the strength for us to move our hand, to blink our eyes, to move our fingers, to exist in this world. He must cooperate. He must concur with us. Thus, if the Lord did not give us strength, then we could not move. Did this doctrine, this blessed doctrine, ever cut your heart to pieces? When the Lord would not give us strength every moment, congregation, we could not move. And for what do we use it? That means that when we are walking over this world in the vanity of this life, and when our thought it is not of God, when our thought is not of spiritual things, when our thought is not at the end of our life, when we are not preparing to meet Him, when we are calling our lands after our own names, when we are living out our heart's desire in this world, then the Lord is every moment giving to us in His long-suffering His cooperation or His concurrence with our every motion. Does that also extend unto our sin? Yes. The Lord is able to keep us from sin. We hope you ask for that, children, young people. And when you pray in the morning, the Lord has taught His disciples to pray and not to lead us into temptation. Do we ask that too? And the Lord is able to keep us from entering that temptation, but He is not obliged. He does not have to, nor does He always, but He is even giving us the strength when we put forth our hand to steal, when we put forth our hand to kill. In all things, the concurrence, the cooperation of the Most High is necessary. Does that make God the author of sin? No. No, it is man who sins. And it is God who is only giving the strength in His body. But not only so, we can even read how that God is so powerfully cooperating in the life of man to bring out His own purposes, that we read that He is even hardening the heart of Pharaoh so that he does not repent, and so that he may destroy this man and that he may deliver his own people. What for? Oh, it is. We see that it is to fulfill His own decrees. And what is that? That is the last part of His providence that is called government. What does that mean? That He is directing it, everything. Directing everything in this world to a certain determinate end that is known by Him. Nothing, absolutely nothing, not the smallest matter in this world happening by chance, but everything according to the good pleasure of the Lord, that His own final purposes may be completely fulfilled. And for that end, the laws of this universe are brought into subjection unto that hand of God, even the fall of man, that awful sin that has brought man into such a pit and such a misery, even natural, spiritual, eternal death. Even this governed by the hand of the Lord. For what end? For His own glory. Yea, and all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. But do we not read about chance in the Bible? Yes, we do read. The Lord Jesus even speaks about chance. He says that there by chance came a man that way. You can read it. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Or what does he mean? Or he does not mean that it happens just without the providence of the Lord, no. But he says, that is what it seems like from the side of man. That it is just by chance. It just happened to be that way. And yet, it is governed by that hand of God. And what a comfort for the true church. But let us sing Psalter 86, 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth, Jehovah, hear, fear. And let all that dwell both far and near in awe before Him stand. For lo, He spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at His command. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86.
Thank you.
Second, the comfort of this providence. The Heidelberg Catechism, congregation, that is a book of comfort. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And that is according to that word of God that we have read also, where the Lord says to his servants, comfort ye. Comfort me, ye my people, saith the Lord. And thus, what is now this comfort? What advantage? What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Thus, first, our instructors, they say, patient in adversity. How impossible is this for the natural man? Because what are we doing in and of ourselves? Congregation, the children of Israel, and when they were brought through the wilderness, and when as soon as they come into any trouble, then what do we hear? We hear that their heart that is bursting with anger against the Lord. We have nothing to eat but this light bread, or that we have nothing to drink. The patient in adversity, Elijah, that holy man of God, he says, Lord, take away my life. Oh, Elijah, is this now patience in adversity? King Joram could not endure the famine. God, do so to me, and more also, if that head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall remain on him this day. No, man is not patient in adversity. That is not a fruit of our own field. This is something that must come from the Lord himself. An adversity that is going to be the portion of that true church here below. And therefore, what a great importance is patience in adversity. Through much tribulation, we read that church is going to enter into the kingdom of God. But it is known, but it is directed by the Lord. Although that people often do not think so. Sometimes they think that the Lord has made a mistake. They say, Lord, wherefore? Or sometimes they even think that the Lord is now coming against them. All these things, they are against me. But when the Lord may only by times open the eyes of that people. David, he had to flee from Saul. And in all his tribulation, then what may he write? He may write, Lord, thou tellest my wanderings. Are they not in thy book? Shimei curses him. Joab wants to take off his head. He said, let him curse the Lord. The Lord is over this. The Lord, he himself has bidden this man to curse me. That is not something that came out of the heart of David, no. Because when Nabal has not given him food and drink, then David also wants to avenge himself. No, patience in adversity that is coming also in the life of God's people from the Lord himself. But then for something that is even more difficult. What do our fathers speak of? They say patient in adversity and thankful in prosperity. Say more difficult? I think so.
It is easy for us to say, O Lord, I thank Thee. That is easy to say. But sometimes you come in the hospital and there is a person, they have been delivered through an operation, they have been delivered through an accident, and you know what they will say to you? If only I could have a true, thankful heart. What is it? Then they feel something. They feel something that they are not able to bring themselves in that place of true thankfulness. And what is that true thankfulness? That is to be humbled, to be so deeply humbled under that hand of the Lord. That is also not a fruit of our own will. Nebuchadnezzar, he was warned by the Lord what was going to happen to him. And he indeed lifted himself up so that he had to be thrown down and he had to eat grass like an ox. Even Ezekiah, servant of the Lord, with all his prosperity, then he is sinning against the Lord. What did David do? When he had received rest from all his enemies round about, then he numbered the people. Where do we find one? Where do we find one who is brought? Oh, it is but by moments in the life of the people. We see a Mephibosheth. No, he cannot walk, but, oh, he says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? There we may read something of a heart that is so deeply humbled before the Lord. Thankful in prosperity and firm trust in our faithful God and Father for the future. What a blessed thing for a little child. Why? Because the future is not known. To a child, the future is not known. To God's children, the future is not known unto man. It is hidden, but it is not hidden from the Lord. Not only is it not hidden from the Lord, but it is in the hands of the Lord. It is in His own hands. That Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth. But now to place my firm trust in Him again, that is a gift of the Lord. Ask Abraham. Oh, then he is going down and cannot exercise it to place his firm trust, Abraham, in God. No, say of me, Sarai, that he is my brother. David, he received the promise from the Lord, and yet he says, I shall one day perish at that hand of Saul. Oh, it is in the hand of the Lord. It is a gift of God also in the life of his people, when they may truly indeed place their firm trust in him for the future. May Abraham do that? Oh, yes. He is commanded by the Lord. He has to give up. He has to sacrifice his beloved son. And then what does he say to those servants? He says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come again. Oh, then he may place his firm trust in that promise of the Lord unto him. May David do it? Oh, he may do it. When it was necessary for the deliverance of the people of the Lord, and then even a mighty Goliath, who is brass from the top of his head to his foot, he can go against with not even a sword in his hand. Thus, what actually took place? what actually happened? Was it the thing that they feared in their unbelief? Or was it the thing which they believed by faith? It was that which they believed by faith. That is what happened. Because when the Lord gives his people faith, then they see reality. Reality. Then that people see things as they really, truly are. Congregation, what do we know of that true faith? That faith in God as the creator of the heavens and of the earth. And then it may be that we are his rational creature, and that we are the object of his special providence more than all the beasts and of the earth itself. But are we now an object of that very special providence of God? That providence that may give that people such comfort, who may by faith go through this world and receive a little bit of this comfort that our fathers speak of, that patience in all their adversity, a little bit, a little beginning of that singing, that thankfulness in prosperity, and a little bit. Little bit by moments to know what that is, to trust him for the future. That people may see sometimes things as they truly are in this world. Oh, may the Lord open our poor blind eyes. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us because we are so ignorant. Give us new life because we are so dead. But wilt thou lead us also in the way of thy providence, and that all things may be to thy honor, but Lord, may it also be for the salvation of our souls. Wilt thou forgive all of our many, many sins, and wilt thou wash us, and wilt thou cleanse us in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Bring us safely to our homes. Go with us in the week to come. Be with us in thy house when we are gathered together once again. We ask it in the forgiveness of our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 345, 1 and 2. To the hills I lift my eyes. Whence shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid. Who the heaven and earth has made. He will guide through dangers all. Will not suffer thee to fall. He who safe his people keeps, slumbers not and never sleeps. 1 and 2 of 345.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.